another beautiful and wonderful privilege of partaking of that which is life, the meat, of partaking of the blessedness, of partaking of that which is true, Jesus Christ, mighty Holy Spirit, our Father, that this moment we are privileged to partake of this wonderful communion. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are present with us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are taking the word and you are about to break it open and cause us to eat it, that we may walk in the light. We thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I tell you, we are blessed.
Yes.
And now I want to just tell you right off the bat that every one of you has a deep-seated yearning to know the Lord. Every one of you. Amen. Every one of you. You have a deep-seated yearning, a longing to be liberated. Actually, let me the word to partake of the liberty that God destined for you even before you were born. Every one of us have it, and it is God who put it in us. It is the abundance of frustration and the prevalence of lies and deceit or deception by devils and demons and the world and human beings who are being used as vessels of darkness. That is the cause for many sons and daughters to think that they are not the type and they are not of any special value or significance, that you know, they are not the type that is called to walk in greater realms and higher levels. It's not true, because it is God who put it inside you. It is God who put it in. It is there. You cannot ignore it. That is why you are easily frustrated by anything that is false. I'm telling you, you are so frustrated by anything that is not of God. Everything. Even when you are motivated to seek your interest, when you get it, you are so frustrated. Why? Because that which God put in you, you are not partaking of it.
Mm. Wow.
And let me tell you something. This desire and this longing is also in the person who you call very wicked. It's there. But just as Jesus said, don't light. Nobody puts up a lantern and puts it under a bushel. This is the truth. Many lanterns that have been lit by the fire of God, by the fire of the Holy Spirit, is hiding under a bushel. Many. But get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Everybody say get ready.
Get ready.
Yes, get ready. Ready. It's about to be brought by the power of God from under the bushel, and is about to be placed on the pedestal, the mountain of God, the mountain of God. The mount is about to be placed upon the mountain of God. It will shine brighter. Amen. Get ready for it.
Amen. Amen.
And it's God who's about to do it. It's the Holy Spirit who's about to do it. I tell you, the wrath of God against the power that has deceived humanity. The wrath of God has been released by how the enemy has used deception to steal the affections of so many. It's about to be lifted up. The bondage is about to come to an end. And you will see, and you will taste of it, and you will marvel and say, wow, I didn't know that you had all these plans for me. I didn't know that you had purposed for me to walk in such light and such glory and such freedom, such liberty, that out of me, even me, flows your life. Oh, what a blessing.
What a blessing.
Oh, I tell you, The hearts of many are about to turn. Prostitutes are about to run into the kingdom of God. Deviants, perverts, perfs are about to run into it. That's why he says that. That's why he says the last shall be the first. Yeah. They will run, they will come in. And they'll be so desperate for this God whom you have been calling God and Lord, but you have never really tasted of the freedom that he purchased for you. You are about to taste of it. So get ready for it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know what? This just occurred to me as we just finished the worship, And I believe it's God speaking to your hearts.
Amen.
God speaking to your hearts. And he holds nothing against you. He has nothing against you. For the blood that is upon his mercy seat, it is the blood of his own son. The blood does not allow and cannot allow the Father to acknowledge your sins. It does not. We must know this truth, because until we have come to know the truth, we still operate under bondage. It is the knowledge of the truth and embracing it. In it is the power that makes you walk in the truth. You don't try to understand something before you walk in the power. No, you just embrace the truth. It doesn't make sense. You say, no, it's above your mind. That's why it doesn't make sense. You embrace it. And as you yield to it, oh, Father, so this one too, you are interested in it. Yes. Oh, Father, so you are interested in my career. Oh, yes. Father, so you're interested in even where I live and what house I live in, and you're interested in all these things. Say, yes, I am. I've always been. Did I not tell you that I have plans for you? Good intentions, great intentions that your mind cannot comprehend. It has not entered into your perceptive capacity. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. These are the things that I have. I have thoughts for your child. You know, some of the things that touch our hearts so much is our child and their welfare. Is it okay with them? Is it going to be okay with them? Is it going to be okay with them? Are they going to grow up to become something that is irrelevant? Yes, these are, you know, as you grow up, these things mean a lot to you. Mm-hmm. But God says, of course they do, because you have my heart. Of course. You are appalled by the division in the church. Of course. You are appalled by the break of marriages. You are appalled by wickedness. You are appalled by jealousy. You are appalled because I put that thing inside you. That's why you are feeling all those things. And that's why you don't know how to express it, but you express it by what you know, which is the word of the devil, unfortunately. But I'm about to make you know that desire comes from me, and I'm about to channel it properly. Ha! I don't know why I'm sharing all these things.
It's powerful.
Anyway, so today we are preaching from one of Bishop's messages, 10 things that mean the same as being born again. 10 things that mean the same as being born again. After the message, I will send you the note that I put down so that you can also have it and go through it and be blessed by it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
10 things that mean the same as being born again. Shall we read the scripture, please? John chapter 3 from verse 1 to maybe 3. Give it to me from the Passion, please. John chapter 3 from verse 1 to 3. Listen, please, let's get ready to speak properly. Let's start speaking properly. But you see, you will only speak properly if you are thinking properly. Because out of the abundance of what your thoughts, patterns are, your mouth speaks or give voice to it. So let's start aligning ourselves with that which is true. Not that which we have experienced, not that which we have. Is it because any experience births an opinion in you? That's how we are. That's how I am. That's how you are. If you experience something, it's automatically, it's like a defensive mechanism. You immediately form an opinion. God says, listen, can you just toss it and only take my opinion about every issue? Did I not give him to be your Lord? It's for a reason, for he alone is true. Your experience is not true. Your opinion is not true. What the abuse you suffered is not true. It is not from the one called the truth. It's from the devil and devils. And he uses people, including loved ones, to break other loved ones. Now, look at it. John chapter 3 from verse 1 says, now there was a prominent religious leader among the Jews named Nicodemus, who was part of the sect called the Pharisees and a member of the Jewish ruling council. Verse 2. Just so you know, Nicodemus was the highest ranking member, so that if there is any dispute about any matter, any religious matter, when before Nicodemus, what he did is accept to be the truth. Makes sense? Are you guys here?
Yes.
Okay. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Beautiful. Now, it says one night, this man, Nicodemus, he discreetly came to Jesus and said, Master, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one performs the miracle signs that you do unless God's power is with him. This was his observation. So if we look at verse 3 and look at Jesus' response, then he says, Jesus answered, Nicodemus, listen to this eternal truth. Nicodemus, listen to this eternal truth. Before a person can perceive God's kingdom realm, before a person can perceive and be able to relate with, because you see, that which you can perceive is that which you can relate with. You see, for example, if I tell Eric, man, Charlie, giving birth is a very painful process. Now, look at it though. I'm saying something that is true, but you see, I myself can't relate to it. Eric also can't relate to it. True or false?
True.
Mm-hmm. But if I say this to Leticia, or if I say it to Ophelia, immediately they know it. I mean, they know it. I said they know it. Why? Because it's in your backyard. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So it says that before a person can perceive or relate with, interact with God's kingdom realm or God's kingdom reality, they must first experience a rebirth. Meaning that, except a man be born again, he cannot see. Because he can only relate to the things that you can see. Are you with me?
Yes.
You can relate with the things that, you know, you have experience of it. That is why, you see, like those of you who have delved into a bit of anatomy and all these, you know, wonderful things, you know, about physiology and all those things. When you begin to talk, you see someone like Chris, who has not gone into it, you know, he hears it, wet, phlebotomy and cardiology and what? Please give me some of the words. You see, they are just words. It doesn't mean anything to him. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. But a person who has been there, has handled it, he comes alive and is able to see. So you say this nerve that connects from here to here. The person, you know, has it. You know, he can see it. He's picturing it as we are talking. He's picturing it. And by the way, that's how God's word is. Before Adam fell, any word that comes from God, he not only hears it, but he can see the word. When he fell, it ceased. So he hears it, but cannot relate to it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That's why he had to be driven, because he's now, He cannot do anything about it. He cannot relate with God anymore. Anyway, let's go on. So he said they must first experience a rebirth. Now look at verse 4. Nicodemus heard, and he said, rebirth? You mean rebirth? So Nicodemus fully understood that what Jesus was talking about was actually a rebirth. Mm-hmm. He could accurately understand that Jesus is talking about a rebirth. So he says, how can a gray-headed man like me be reborn? It's impossible for a man to go back into the womb a second time and be reborn. Wow.
Nicodemus.
So now listen to this though.
Yeah.
The implication here is that you must be born again, just like Adam was born by the direct breath of God. Adam was born by the direct breath of God. I said, listen, no. Adam was born by the direct breath of God. When he received the breath of God, he was able to perceive spiritual realities. That is why he could give a name to an animal, and it is fully the characteristics of that animal. He didn't have to study the animal and give the name like we do. We give COVID-19 came about because of the studies about all these kind of viruses. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So
because of the fall, we have to study, experiment, figure out how does it behave? What is its
signs and symptoms?
what is the virulence? I mean, how does it kill and all that? Then we give it a name by its actions. But before Adam fell, he knew. He knew. No experiments was required. He could tell. Are you with me?
Yes.
Because he could relate with realities. Because everything that is in the physical originates from the spiritual realm. So he doesn't need to sit down and study lion, this animal, let me study it and give it a name. No. He saw the animal. You're called lion.
Wow.
He saw this one, crocodile.
Oh, yes.
And you shall be and act and live as a crocodile. Mm-hmm. That's how it was. So Adam received the breath of God, and he could instantly perceive spiritual realities after committing the high treason. Now remember, before he committed the act of that high treason. You say, what's high treason? High treason is to do an act or perform a crime, commit a crime that undermines your government. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
Remember, it is God who made him and put him into his kingdom. So he committed high treason by committing a crime that undermined God's kingdom. So what happened? So now when he gives birth, every child that comes from him automatically becomes also a child of the devil, because the father is or has become a child of the devil. Automatically, every seed that comes out of him, do you know that when you are a servant, when you give birth, so long as you are living in your master's house, all your children are also slaves of your master?
Yes.
Exactly. So anyone that is born or came, any human being that is born or comes from Adam automatically becomes a child of the devil or a child of wrath. So the sentence, the curse, automatically comes upon you. You do what a cursed being lives. So you live in bondage to that cursed life. You are cursed. Everything you do serves the devil. Everything. So you say you have made an iPhone, no problem. It will serve the devil. That's why everything that man has devised as powerful, I mean, as such a blessing that is supposed to be, it serves the devil. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Everything. So find out that the person who came up with the microscope, they use microscope now to develop viruses. Mm-hmm. Are you with me?
Yeah.
That's how it is. A microscope that we developed to find out what is causing this so that we can arrest the development of that thing. Now, that's this. Everything, name it, aeroplane, everything. They want to go and level up a nation. They just send a bomb in an aeroplane. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
everything. That's how it is. Everything. That's supposed to be a blessing, that man-made. By the way, no, let me just not go there. Anyway, so now, everyone was cursed. Everyone now had to live only by his senses. Everyone became natural. Everyone now has to be ruled by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Everyone has to be ruled, or everybody's life has to be tormented, live in sorrow, in pain, cursed by God, rejected by God. Sickness rules everybody's life. Nobody's free. Why? Because the wrath of God is against that life, because that life has departed from God and is now servant, or is in bondage to the devil. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Now listen, though. Listen, so the remedy is to be born again. Now, just as we all received the life of Adam and was cursed, we must also now receive the life of Christ to be born again and be blessed. There's no way out. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So how do you become blessed? You receive the life of the one who is blessed. His name is Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. That is why everybody has to be born again. Everybody has to be. Everybody who is not born again is cursed. It doesn't matter how much money you have to your name. It doesn't matter where you live or who. Go to Hollywood, you'll find out. It doesn't matter. I tell you, we want to own and possess the things that they have. But if we talk to them and they are honest, they will tell you, listen to me, there's nothing new. That's why I'm pursuing drugs. What do you think? I like to get drugs because I've come to see that I have gotten what I dreamt about, but it's not bringing any meaning. So I tried this husband, doesn't work. I change it. I tried this other one, found that So they are just circulating the men around them. Are you with me?
Yeah.
True or false?
True.
Yeah. They move from this property to this property. Oh, let's go to Africa and see the life there. They go there, they find that. Oh, shall I? What else? Go ask Michael Jackson, he'll tell you. There's this pursuit. Now, verse 7. Look at verse 7 again. Chapter 3, verse 7. Jesus said, you shouldn't be amazed by my statement. You must be born from above. It says you shouldn't be amazed. You must be born from above. You must be born again. That's so he was saying that to be born again means to be born from above. So Adam had life and was able to perceive spiritual realities because he was born from above. When he committed the high treason, immediately he lost it. He became a child of the devil. We must now be born again from above, to now begin to live the supernatural life. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Very good. Very good. Now, what does it? So, what are the 10 things that mean, or that is the same as being born again? Number one, is to be a Christian. Number one is to be a Christian. So what does that mean? Acts 11, verse 26. To be a Christian. To be a Christian. To be of Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian. To be of Christ. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah.
You are of Christ. What does it mean? You are no longer of Adam. That is what I've been telling you guys. Listen, there are only two men. There are only two men recognizable in the world, in the whole world. There are only two men. Doesn't matter whether you are of this descent, or you were born in the queen's palace, or you were born in the king's whatever. It doesn't matter where you were born, or to whom you were born, or how you were brought up, or what is to your name. Are you of Adam, or are you of Christ? between any of these you bless or whether you are cursed. This determines it. Demons know it. Demons know it. When they are coming, they are seeking for the sign, the mark. Are you in bondage to Adam's life, or you are in bondage to the life of Christ? If you are in bondage to the life of Christ, they call a bond servant. The mark is there. The light is upon you. They cannot touch you. You cannot be touched. Anyway, so it says that together, Saul and Barnabas ministered there for a full year, equipping the growing church and teaching the vast number of new converts. It was in Antioch that the followers of Jesus were first revealed. Oh, please give me King James. The Passion says anointed ones, but King James says it was in Antioch that the followers of Jesus were called. Look at it. And the disciples were called what?
Christians
first in Antioch. So to be called a Christian means now you are a disciple, you are a follower of the Christ. You are a follower of the Christ. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So you are fully embraced this man called Jesus Christ. How do you think? Like Jesus Christ. How do you speak? Like Jesus Christ. What is true to you? Like Jesus Christ. You don't receive truth by any other means. You cannot say that I feel like a girl, so I'm a girl. No. You can't do that.
Okay.
You can't do that. You cannot say that. You know how lately people are coming out and say, when I was young, I thought, like this girl, I just read something about, says I can't remember the words that they use, but she thought she was this. And then as she was growing up, she came across this other term, which explained something that she could relate with. So she said, I'm this. And then along the way, she found out, or even now, she realized that, I have attraction to those who I feel passionate about. So meaning that if I feel passionate about this girl, then what's the word? Is it bisexual? But I've forgotten the word. Anyway, it's a word. So if I feel passionate about this girl, she's a girl. If I feel passionate about this girl, then this is what I am. If I feel passionate about this man, then this is what. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Aha. So we found out that there's always a shifting. That's how anything that is not true it is.
Oh.
Because truth is always truth. Mm-hmm. Cannot change. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So now you receive your truth from he who is called the truth. That makes you a Christian. You are a follower, a disciple of the one called the Christ. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Number two. So who are you? Who are you? A Christian. Now, think like that. Act like that. At home, act like that. Talk like that. At work, act like that. Talk like that. Take a stand for that. You don't. The enemy will have you because he operates based on lies. Anyway, let's go on. Number two, it means being born of the Spirit. John 3, verse 6. Look at John 3, verse 6. King James, please. I'll tell you when I want you to give me the passion. John 3, verse 6. It says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So when we came into being, everybody was born of the flesh. Everybody was born of the flesh. Everybody was born by a mother. Everybody. All that you could get from that birth is that which is only flesh, meaning you can only relate to and with natural things. You can feel pain. You can feel this. You can feel this. You can feel you suffer this. It means this. All that. You are natural. You are flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit. Now, you notice that letter is capital S. That which is born of the Spirit is your spirit, or a spirit. It's spirit. So that which the Holy Spirit has given birth to is your spirit. So when you say, I am born again, you are saying that I am born of the Spirit. Does that make sense?
Yes.
This is very important to understand. You are born of the Spirit. That is why no hands touched you. As in, there was no procedure that was done on you to ascertain your new birth. No. There is, you can't say, I felt born again. What do you mean by felt? The Holy Spirit is a spirit. That which he gives birth to is a spirit. So it has nothing to do with feelings. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. That is why you have to become so assured of it. You shouldn't let your feelings dictate whether you are born again or not, because it has nothing to do with flesh. You see, when you go to give birth, we all know what you go through. We all know, you know, you push it out, you do all those, or you are cut. But when you are born of the Spirit, there is no human hand. There is no human intervention. Listen. Nobody can beget Jesus. Nobody, there's nothing you can do to beget him, but everybody can receive him. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Everybody can receive him, but there's nothing you can do. Nobody can beget. You can't say, I did this. That is proof that I'm born again. No. It's the Holy Spirit. He's moving. He's impressed upon your heart. He's impressed upon your heart. Then you say, I receive him. I receive the new life that the Holy Spirit alone can bring forth. You are born of the Spirit. What do you feel? Nothing? How many of you have seen the air that you are breathing?
Not yet.
How many of you have confidence that you are taking in air?
Oh.
Who told you that? You'll get to a statement like that, you'll see. Now, the next, number three. To be born again means to be born of God. So now we know that to be born again means you are a Christian. To be born again means you are born of the Spirit. Number three, to be born again means that you are born of God. 1 John 3, verse 9. Look at it. 1 John 3, verse 9. 1 John 3, verse 9. It says, whosoever is born of God, whosoever is born of God, does not commit sin. What does it mean? Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. What does it mean? It means that anyone who is born of God does not practice. You see, before you got born again, you would drink. There was no problem. When you drink, then you get another one. Hey, bring the second one. Bring it. You drink. And when you're done, you enter into your car. If you have a car, then you drive. You do whatever. You look at pornography, and it's not anything. After what? I mean, I'm just enjoying it. I'm enjoying God's beauty. That's what you will say. And you do it. I mean, with your friends. But when his seed, when you became born of God, the same thing, when you try to do it, you find out there's a disturbance. There's a disturbance. There is a disturbance. Yeah. Find that you're wondering, who's here? That's why you are doing it in secret, because you know that this is not what you're supposed to be doing. You know it. Why? The seed of God is in you. You say something, and then later on you wonder, I shouldn't have said this. These people, that's why I don't want them around, because they're always causing me to do what I don't like to do. The seed of God remains in you. How many of you can relate to it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's how it is. That's how it is. I said I will never say this again, but this guy, I don't know what. God, please forgive me. God, I beg you, forgive me. You're already forgiven. The disturbance you are experiencing is because of the seed of God that is in you. You know, if you read it, I mean, if you like, you can read it in the NASB. I believe it says it in it presents it the way the Greek is supposed to be. Look at it in the NASB. Look at it. No one who is born of God practices. You see, I can give medicine. You see, a mother gives medicine to his child. I'm sorry, her child or her children. So he says he has a headache or he has an abrasion and he goes and collects all the first aid stuff. He is actually doing the work of a doctor, right?
Yes.
But is he a doctor?
No.
So he cannot practice medicine, but he's doing something that doctors are supposed to be doing or nurses are supposed to be doing. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So you are born again. You have the seed of God in you. You are born of the Spirit of God. But sometimes you commit acts of sin. Doesn't make you a sinner. It doesn't. But the one who's a sinner, go and check him. He's watching the thing. You come and pass by. It's as if he didn't see you. You're not important. I mean, look, I'm enjoying my thing. What do you mean? What do you mean? He's lying, and he's lying with such strength and confidence. But you, when you try to lie, you find out that your whole day is messed up. True or not true?
True.
Exactly. For he who is born of God practices, no one who is born of God practices sin, because the seed, his seed, abides in him. And he cannot sin because he's born of God. He cannot commit the act of sin that continually rejects God's life in his life, because he's born of God. Oh, guys, are you understanding the scriptures?
Yes.
How many of you can see that's the good news?
Yes.
Because the enemy condemns. My goodness, you commit one act and it's like, I must get born again. How many of you can relate to it? So when a preacher man comes and preaches and he mentions the thing that you have been struggling with, say, please, I'm coming to get born again.
Born again.
Why? Because, you know, you have not received the truth concerning you. Because you have not received the truth concerning you, the power to overcome the acts of sin is not there, because it is when you receive the truth that the truth itself, with its own power, delivers you from the acts of sins. Holy Spirit is not so involved with your act that you have done that defy God's presence. He is super interested in revealing the truth to you, because when you receive the truth itself has the power to make you. It sets you free. It makes you. Let's go on. Number four. Oh, number five. Oh, where are we?
Four.
Okay. Number four. Being a child of God. Being a child of God. Being a child of God. Isn't everybody a child of God? Well, let's read the scripture. John chapter 1, verse 12. Remember, I said that when Adam committed the high treason, we all became the children of the devil, children of wrath. So look at John chapter 1. What did I say?
Verse 12.
Yeah, John 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave ye the right, all the power, to become children of God. So you are not a child of God until you receive him.
Wow.
You're not. You say, God gave birth to all of us, so he must treat us equally. Yes. Devils don't respect that. Demons don't respect that. You can think all you think. You can say all you want to say. But until you have received him, you are not a child of God. God does not have the right to do with you as he could do or he can do with others. Why? Because you have failed to receive his son, the one whom he has given to be the life and the deliverance and the salvation and the redemption. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The son is the only way. The son is the truth. He's the life. You have not received him. Well, you don't have the right and the power to become a child of God or a son of God. Even to them that believe on his name. What does it mean? When you receive him, what you are saying is that I believe that he is the one God gave to bring me out of my bondage to the Adamic life and to translate me into the life of his son, the kingdom of his son, the kingdom of light. And I didn't do anything about it. He didn't even consult me. All I did was to receive. Just like breathing. Just like breathing. It has to be so easy that nobody needs an effort.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if your breathing capacity was tied to your IQ?
Hey, forgive.
Then a child who doesn't have who has a very low IQ is doomed.
Forgive.
It's doomed. But because life depends on it. By the way, whilst you are here, let me just, I don't know if I should say it. Not next time, because it's contention, it's the truth, but you know, just said that just certain things that you couldn't say until a certain time. Anyway, let's go on. Where are we? He gave power the right. How can you say that you are a child of God? Oh, because I have received him, because I believe that he's the Messiah, he's the one who God gave to save me from being. And to give me his life. He's the one. He paid for it. Then you stand by it. You wait. You receive it. We will read another scripture and you will see the basis of all that we are talking about. Look at the next one. So to be born again means you are a child of God. The number five, becoming a believer. 1 John chapter 5 from verse 9. How many of you believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord?
Yes.
Very good. Very good. You are a child of God. 1 John chapter 5 from verse 9. We read a bit. Give me the Passion translation. The Passion. 1 John chapter 9, chapter 5 from verse 9. 1 John chapter 5. Okay, wait. Let's read the King James first. Let's see something. It says, if we receive the witness of men, look at it too. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he has testified of his son. What he's saying is that you go to school, you go through a 2-year, 3-year curriculum. They say, study this, read this, go to the lab, do this, come and write an exam. You have passed the exam, I give you a certificate. That certificate makes you a nurse. That certificate makes you a doctor. That certificate makes you a legal consultant. That certificate makes you a pharmacist, a carpenter, whatever it is. And then you go to a place and you say that by virtue of this certificate or by witness of this certificate, I am who I say I am, and you must employ me. Isn't that what you do?
Yes.
Hey! And you swear by it so that if anybody comes and defies what the certificate witnesses to, you raise up hell. True or false?
True.
I mean, you will fight the person, you will insult the person, the person will become your number one enemy. True or false?
True.
So much so that if anybody is even doing something to undermine your certification, meaning that he's making you commit acts that can easily let you lose that license, that person, you fight like... Mm-hmm. True or false?
True.
Now, he's saying that if we receive the witness of men, it is men who say that you are a nurse. It's men. Did God say you are a nurse? Please tell me. If God said you are a nurse, then why you become an engineer? Mm-hmm. And if God said you are an engineer, why have you become a nurse? No. This is the witness of men. They take you through their school, their curriculum, and they tell you that you are this.
Yeah.
It's getting even worse in these days. It's getting even worse. They take you through something, and then they say, this is how you must think. This is how you are. This is how you should operate. Anyway. It's terrible, but God will let the truth come forth. Now, he says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he has testified of who?
Of his son. Of his son.
Now, be careful. The testimony of God is regarding his son. Anything that he calls truth is regarding his son. The reason why you were cursed is because of Adam, and that was the truth. Now he is about to translate you and bring you into a kingdom of light. And when he puts you there, he's going to testify to you about the truth. He's not going to testify to you about the life that you had, which he ended. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
So he says that if you are receiving the witness of men, if you are saying you are rich because you have X amount of money in your account, and that's what makes you rich. how much more the witness of God? Wow! Give it to me in the passion. I wish I could take you on this for a while, but I need to just go through these things for today. It says, everyone who believes, oh, what's that? Verse 9. The passion. The passion from verse 9, because I don't have the time to go through all that nice. It says, if we accept the testimony of men, you think about it. Think about Helena and Sam. They got married just recently, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Just a people have gathered. A people have gathered together under that blazing sun. Mm-hmm. We perform some ceremonies. And then we say that you are man and wife. Even worse, two people go to the city, secretary of state, right?
City clerk.
And they say that we have agreed to marry. This is our witness. Here to attest to our intention. So clerk, declare what we are. Then she gives you a certificate that says, so long as the two of you have agreed, by virtue of the authority vested in me as the city clerk, I give you this letter, this certificate to ascertain that you are a couple. Now, any man who tries to get into that woman, you, even if you accidentally kill her, you can be exonerated because he has defied the law of the city clerk. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You see, though, now the Lord is the word of God, the Holy Spirit is saying, if we accept the testimony of men,
wow,
two men go to see the same city clerk. City clerk says, you have agreed. Two men, no problem. What's your witness?
Forgive.
Two other men. So four men are there. The two people say that we are getting married. City clerk issues a certificate. They're a couple.
Adam and Steve.
And they accept the testimony of men so much so that they want to make sure that you also accept the testimony. True or false?
True.
Say, how much more should we accept the more authoritative testimony of God that he has testified concerning his son? Let's go down quickly. We don't have much time. My goodness. Verse 10. Now, I'm saying this with, It says, those who believe in the Son of God have the living testimony in their hearts. Those who don't believe have made God out to be a liar. See, God says that I took you. I put you to the death of my son. I buried you together with him 3 days to be sure that you are irreversibly dead. You are once and for all dead. The life that I cursed, I have also brought it to an end in the death. That is why we were baptized. I died together into his death. Then it says, after 3 days, after ensuring your once and for all death, I raised up. How did I do it? I breathed my new life, my fresh life into my son, and he was raised up together with you. Now the life you have, I brought it forth. It is the very life of my son. Just as you were in Adam, now you are in Christ. And he asks you, do you receive this offer of love? You say, yes, Father, I receive it. You're born again. Says, if you deny this, you make God a liar. You did not make the city clerk a liar. Now you are making God a liar. Mm-hmm. Any other voice that says this to you, it is the voice of devils and demons. It is God who did it. It is Jesus who died. It is Jesus who rose up again. It is Jesus who has now taken his seat together with you in heavenly places. Who are you and where are you? You are seated with him in heavenly places, but you are still here, just as he also said to Nicodemus, who is in heaven except the person, the Son of Man, who is here, which is him. Anyway, so he says, those who don't believe have made God out to be a liar. So now you find out that after you have received him, any act that does not conform to that which he calls truth, it brings frustration. And that is why church gets broken. People get, you know, the people get disappointed. They leave the faith. Why? Because the truth is not coming forth. Lies and deception is running, and we are, you know, you are receiving things that you must do to become. When God said, I have made you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it says, you make God to be a liar. It's because he's the one who brought it forth. Who did it? It says you have been freely, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation, one who has appeased his wrath. So the wrath of God has been appeased. There's nothing you can do to appease God's wrath. He doesn't have respect for your blood. He doesn't need your blood because your blood came from Adam. But the blood of his son came from himself. And he has satisfied his own wrath that was against all the sons of Adam. And now, by the resurrection, you're born again. All you do is receive it and believe what you have received. You receive it and you believe what you have received. It's like when I breathe, I'm taking oxygen. I don't need to run out to say I'm going to receive oxygen. What do you mean? Is that what you do?
No.
No.
I'm starving. You are breathing and you say that I'm running out to go receive oxygen. Why? You don't believe what you're receiving? Wow. He says you make him out to be a liar by not believing the testimony God has confirmed about his son, because he gave his son to replace you. Next verse, quickly. Why am I sharing this with you? Why am I emphasizing all these things? This is the true testimony that God has given us eternal life. This is the true testimony. This is the witness of God. This is the testimony of God. This is what the Holy Spirit comes to testify to you about what is true. That God has given us, not God will give you. He has given us eternal life. And this life has its source in his son. Just as we received the sentence of death from Adam, now God has given us eternal life, his life. But this life has its source in his son. Next verse. Wow. Verse 12. Whoever has the son, how do you receive it? Like breathing again. Whoever has the son has the life, the eternal life. Whoever does not have the son, for only one reason, he has not received and does not believe it. And you are making God a liar. You are receiving testimony of others, other human beings. He says, whoever does not have the son does not possess this life. You possess this life. You must now live according to the life which you possess. Next verse. Oh, am I preaching to you at all?
Yes.
Yeah.
It says, now look at this statement. This is very, very important. I have written this letter to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you will be assured and know without a doubt that you have eternal life. If it is something that you can be assured of by an experience, they don't need a letter. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
The reason why you take the certificate is because you cannot prove that this is your wife. You cannot prove it. Because you can also bring another girl and say, this is my wife. Mm-hmm. You can bring 10 girls and say, these are all my wives.
Every week.
every week. You can even kiss that woman in front of the person who you need. But because you can kiss every woman and say that is your wife, right? Mm-hmm. But the proof is that which you can say that this is a certificate. This is a certificate of our marriage. God is saying that the Holy Spirit has written you a letter to let you know what is true, and he wants you to not only eat it, chew upon it, and stand upon the letter which he has written you. He made the Holy Spirit let the apostle write this letter for you and for me so that we will know without a shadow of any doubt, assured that we have this life. That's why we are going through all these scriptures. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Yes.
Number six. So number five was becoming a believer. Becoming a believer. You believe. You believe what God has said. You receive from men and you believe what men say. You believe what men give you. You believe your father is dying, and he said that I have a house in let's say you are here. Your father is dying. Says I have a house in South Africa. It's paid for. It's mine. I have this man will. It's yours. I'm giving it to you. No, you have never been to South Africa. You've not been there. How are you going to own this house? This house. Gave you that. Say that you go to the legal system over there. This is my house because I gave it to me. Were you there when it was being built? Were you there when it was paid? Oh, guys, can you hear me? Oh, you can't hear me. My connection.
We can hear you now.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Were you there when he was? You know what? Let me just do this. I wish I could. Okay. Yeah. It says so. What you have is the proof given to you by the letter, by the Holy Spirit. That's what you have. Just as you take the legal document to go and let it speak for you. Take this letter, let it speak for you to devils and demons and to your own mind. To your own mind. So that you be assured and know without a doubt that you have eternal life. I want to see if I can also do it from here as well. I want to join audio from here. Can you hear me now? Yeah, okay. So now number six, repenting. Repenting. Luke chapter 3 from verse 4. Look at Luke chapter 3 from verse 4. Give me King James, please. Luke chapter 3 from, can you give me the passion if you want. Luke 3. We are reading from verse 4 to 8. Wow. Now, the rest, I might just give the scriptures and then we will end very soon. Luke chapter 3 from verse 4. Give it to me in the passion. I'm going to read from verse 4 to 8. Luke chapter 3 from verse 4. It says, this was to fulfill what was written in the book of the prophet Isaiah. Listen. It says, you will hear a thunderous voice in the lonely wilderness telling you to wake up. And get your heart ready. It says, wake up and get your heart ready for the coming of the Lord Jehovah. Then it says, every twisted thing in your lives must be made straight. You know. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. You know, I want us to just read. Maybe let's read the King James first so that you can see the real meaning of that scripture. Look at the King James, please. You know, just bear with me and give me the King James. I want you to see something. It says, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. Next verse. It says, make his path straight. Make his path. You prepare the way of the Lord. You make his path straight. It says, every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. How many of you can agree with me that the Holy Spirit is not talking about us building a highway, like making like I-94? How many of you can believe that this is not what the Holy Spirit is saying?
Yeah.
Is he saying that we should build a road like an I-94?
No.
Because when you are building a road like I-94, every valley has to be filled. Every mountain and hill has to be brought low. And the crooked should be made straight. And the rough ways should be made smooth. True or false?
True.
But that is not what he's talking about. So look at the passion. Look at the passion. So it says, every dark way must be brought to the light. Every dark way must be brought to the light. And listen to me. Listen. You take your dark way or ways, you bring it to the light. You don't try to fix it. It is you willing and gladly bringing it to the light and letting the light expose it. The power for you to overcome, the power for you to walk in the light is from the light itself. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah.
That is why you should have a heart that is breakable. Sometimes I cry. It's not because I am this small boy or girlish. No. By the way, a lot of women, their heart is more closer to God than a lot of men, because men are stiff, stoking, stashed, is like a man shouldn't cry. But you see, what it means that you are so moored into what God is wanting to show you, and so you are so open that it's okay for that which is terribly wrong about you to be exposed. It's okay. It's not a big deal. Who am I? Who are you? Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You should be so willing that this thing that I believed and I was studying and fighting for, my God, all these years. Oh God, thank you that you don't take record of all these things and that you make all things new. And today, you are revealing the light to me. Is it you are so moored, you are so tended. I mean, your heart is so tender, you're so humble that God, I just, whatever you show me, it may display my utter stupidity and foolishness. And it, by the way, it's been shown to me how stupid I have been and tend to be, and my eagerness to contend with issues. I mean, the Holy Spirit has to show me. Why? Because the light, that's what the light does. And then as I open my heart to receive it, then the power to silence that thing that keeps me in that bondage gives way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's how my marriage has been. That's how come Apostle can call me and say, Ray, stop that stupid thing that, you know. Because I was strong in it. I believe that this is the thing that must be. And then he will call and say, you know, stop that stupid thing that you are doing. Now, do this. Now, you see, now, if it was stupid to me, why was I doing it? So now, I have to receive somebody who is not in that situation, who is not tormented by the issues. He's free from it. So he, because he's free from it, he can see things that I can see. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. That's what you can tell your child. Don't go there. No reason, no explanation. Why? He can't get it. Mm-hmm. He can't get it. It's only when he grows. Then you say, the reason why I say this is that. The reason why I keep saying this is this. Why? Because now he's of age and he can relate to it. His hormones are alive. Everything is fully coming to age. So now he can relate to realities. Anyway, go back to the scripture, please. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's why as your children grow, you must talk more. It's not a time to shut up. It's no. As a father, talk more. Give reasons. They must know why. Daddy, why can't I do this? This is the reason. And a wise child receives instructions. Mm-hmm. He receives it. So he says, every dark way must be brought to the light. Wrongs righted. Injustices removed. Every heart of pride will be humbled low before him. Every deception will be exposed and replaced by the truth, so that everyone, everywhere, will be ready to see the life of God. This is about to happen. What does that mean? What does that mean? This is what verse? This is verse 5, right? Keep going to the next verse. Keep going, please. Verse 6. John kept preaching to the many crowds who came out to be baptized. You are nothing but the offspring of poisonous snakes, full of deception. Have you been warned to repent before the coming wrath of God? See, John came to preach a message of repentance. So next verse, verse 8. He says, even now, he says, then turn away from your sins. Turn to God and prove it by a changed life. Turn to God and prove it by a changed life. Don't think for a moment that it's enough to simply be the favored descendants of Abraham. It's not enough. It says that it's not enough. You are born again. It's not enough to say that I'm born again. So now I can continue to live the life which I knew. I can continue to think the way I used to think. I can continue to say the things I used to think and say. No. Say, don't think for a moment that it's enough to simply be the favored descendants of Abraham, because now we are all sons and daughters of Abraham. True or false?
True.
Yeah. By his obedience, we have been brought into the privileges of sonship. He says, that's not enough to save you. I'm telling you, God could make more sons of Abraham out of stones if you so choose. Give this to me in the King James. Give it to me in the King James, so that you can see how strong and powerful it is. Quickly, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. Bring forth fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say with yourselves, we have Abraham to be our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Now, listen to me. I read a scripture, and I by the grace of God, I want you to see the depth of it. Now, repentance was the message that had to be preached for Jesus to be brought forth. That is why John the Baptist, the one who was sent as a forerunner to Jesus Christ, when he came, that was the only message that had to be preached. That was the case then. That is the case now. For the light that we have received to come forth. Every day is the day of repentance. Say, Pastor, what does it mean? What does it mean? Listen to me. Listen to me. Repentance means to turn away from sin. But what is sin? Sin is not just one or two bad things we have done or are doing. No. It's everything about us. Every way of us is sin. That's how we are. See, because we don't know that the thing that is about us is more terrible than COVID-19. That is why we tolerate it. We tolerate how we think. It's okay. We tolerate how we speak. It's okay. We tolerate how we see things. It's okay. No! Every day is a life of repentance where you turn from everything you and about you to the life that Jesus raised, the life that God raised, that it is his life. So what he thinks is what flies. What he's doing is what the focus is on. His perception of this person is the focus. And see, that is why you as a mother, you don't give everything that your child is asking for. He doesn't know anything, doesn't know squat, but he thinks that he knows. So he cries and throws a temper tantrum. And still you ignore him. For a reason. So a life of repentance is like every day. That is what the Holy Spirit is always revealing to us every day about the Christ. So that we give up on us. Because the life of Adam is the life of self-centeredness, self-preservation, and self-promotion. It's about us. Self, that is the nature of the devil. Say, I will arise. I will sit upon the sides of the north. I will lift up my throne. That is the devil. So when you have his nature, everything is about you. Every focus is on you. Why do you get upset? Because he insulted me. But who are you? Do you still exist or you are dead? The life which you now live, is it you or is Christ's life? If it's your life, then of course you have a cause. You have a cause to be angry. You have a cause to fight back and to ascertain your value and significance. But because it's the life of the Christ, you don't let that old dead life come forth. No, because that dead life is cursed. So when you experience the curses in your life, just know what life you are living. Whether it's your life or the life that that God raised, which is there. It's there. It's there. But you see, listen to me. A prisoner. You see, when you put a person in jail, Do you know that the people in jail, the guys who are in jail, do you know that if you make a mistake and you let them be spend just even one day with your daughter can become pregnant? Do you know that? Why is that? Why is that? Because the power to make another person pregnant is with them, even though they are in jail, even though they are prevented from they are told what to eat, when to eat, and all that, and where to even sleep, and all that. The power is there. It doesn't mean that you will automatically live it unless you are repenting every day. I don't know if I'm preaching to you.
Yes.
Please, can you relate to it?
Yeah.
The power to live that life. What is the life of Jesus Christ? What is the life that shuts the devil's voice and rise above all the elements? It is there. But it can be like being in jail. You can make somebody pregnant. You can marry somebody. You can eat this. You can eat this. If they bring the food, you will eat it. But it will never be brought to you. You will never have access to it because you're supposed to be in jail. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm closing right now. Time is up. So number six is repenting. Number seven is to be saved. To be saved. So when you say you are born again, it means that you are saved. That is, don't turn the scriptures, but that is Ephesians 2:8. And then number eight is being regenerated. Being regenerated, being recreated. We can't read the scripture because my time is up. And number nine is being a disciple. And number 10 is being a saint. So if I say Saint Enoch, it's right. Saint Rachel, it's right. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So you can attach the word saint to your name. Why? You are born again. Let's read that scripture. I think we should read it. 1 Corinthians 1:2. I love the repentance. Every day is a day of repentance. You must repent every day and bring forth fruits. It says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ. That's what you are. Called to be saints. You are called to be a saint. God called you to be a saint. That's why he put you into the life of his son and made you a saint. So there's Saint Thomas. There's also Saint Eric. Saint Ophelia. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Saint Ray. So, hey, you've also become a saint. I didn't make myself a saint. He did. He made you a saint. You're called to be a saint, sanctified in Christ. Mm-hmm. With all that in every place. Listen, with all that in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Both theirs and ours. Paul is saying that the Jesus whom I call Lord, if he's the Jesus whom you call Lord, then you are a saint.
Wow. Amen.
Wow. Saint Enoch. If I call you, I'll call you Saint Enoch.
Hey, Papa B.
Ah, fully. Fully. That's what you are. Yeah. Saint Sonny. Wow. Saint Sonny. Saint Sonny Cooper. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, the question in closing is, how do you become born again? How? 1 John 5:1. And we close. 1 John 5:1. 1 John 5:1. This is a little bit packed, message, but you can go and listen to it. I'll send you the message. You can, read it and be blessed by it. 1 John 5:1. How many of you can see your roots are digging deeper?
Yes.
Say yay.
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 How many of you can see that the lies are being silenced now? Say yay.
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 Very good. So it says that whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So if you believe that Jesus is the Christ or the Messiah or the one that God sent and gave to deliver us from our bondage and to bring us into the light, if you believe it, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. You are born of God if you just believe it. And everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. This is why you begin to now love others. Wow. This is how now you begin to love others. So you prove that you are truly born again as you now begin to yield with all tenderness or tenderliness and carefulness and say, Jesus is the Lord. I have an opinion about this matter, but Jesus is my Lord. So I cannot present my opinion. I cannot present what makes sense to me. Why? Because I have a Lord. His name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Wonderful, wonderful. Let's rise to our feet. Wow. How many of you are blessed by God's word? Wow. We thank God. Father, we thank you, we bless you, and we give you praise. The entrance of your word indeed brings liberty. The light has been shown upon our hearts. Father, we thank you that what you did is perfect. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing must be taken away from it. We receive this life. Say with me, I receive the life of Jesus.
I receive the life of Jesus.
I believe that God gave him for me.
I believe that God gave him to me.
To redeem me from my curses.
To redeem me from the life lived in bondage to pain and torment.
I receive this life.
I receive his life.
And I crown him as my Lord. And now he is the center of my life.
Now he is the center of my life.
I thank you, Father.
For this precious life.
I thank you, Holy Spirit. That you are present to reveal the reality of this life to me. In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Wonderful. Well, let's receive the communion quickly.
Today,
I eat the body of Jesus Christ. And I declare that it speaks to me of his life in me.
And I declare it speaks to me of his life in me.
The body of Jesus Christ.
The body of Jesus Christ.
Please eat the body. The reason why you can lay your hands upon your children is because of the body. It's not because of anything that you can do or have done. No. Now, the blood. Say with me, this is the blood of my Lord Jesus Christ.
This blood has washed me, that purges my conscience, that purges my conscience of ever knowing what is wrong with me.
To now embracing what is true about me.
The life of Jesus.
Which belongs to me. It's what is true about me. This is what the blood ministers to me. Now I drink the blood of Jesus. Please give me a drink. Wow. Well, God bless. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow. Well, let's take our tithe quickly.